I'm going to be all over the Bible tonight, but we'll start in 2 Kings 13 for just a minute, and then probably you want to turn to Proverbs. I have a message that kind of branches off this morning's message. The thing about this message is it's a principle in the Bible, and being a big picture person, I see things in big pictures. Principles are very clear to me. But people like a verse that says this. And the Bible says this in a lot of ways, in a lot of places. But there's not necessarily one verse that says it, but it's a big theme in the Bible, a big principle in the Bible. So we're going to do a lot of Bible to show you how much the Bible teaches you this. And it kind of goes off this morning's message about how that the two spies got to go into the promised land because they decided to do the hard thing. They decided that they would be less afraid of the giants and more wanting the blessings of God and believed in the power of God. And so the Joshua and Caleb got to go in because they chose the path of battle, which is the harder path, where the blessings were, even though that path was a much scarier path. And the rest of them, they had an easier path, I guess. They didn't have to fight any giants. They didn't have to go into the promised land. They just got to wander around till their carcasses fell in the wilderness. So they had a very boring, very secure path. But God says, "A just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight." So branching off of that, we could step out and go into this thing. And it started just a thing I noticed in people a lot. And I'll illustrate with a strange story here. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. "And now Elijah was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take the bow and arrows, and he took him the bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand to the bow. And he put his hand to the bow, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it, and Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot, and he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them." All right, so in 2 Kings 13 here, is the king here obedient so far? Okay, he says, open the window and shoot. And he did it. Okay, he's obeying. Now, once you get this, he's going to continue to obey, but he's going to get in trouble in his obedience. Okay, and he said unto them, and he said, take arrows. And he took them, still obeying. And he said to the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smote the ground thrice and stayed. Did he obey? He obeyed. And the man of God was wroth, was angry with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And he did smite Syria a few times, but Syria remained strong, and Syria ended up taking over his kingdom later because they weren't destroyed. Now, just starting from there, I'm going to title the message, Don't Always Pluck the Lowest Fruit. And go from there and give you a principle throughout the Bible and apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Lord, may the Spirit of God help us to grasp this truth around the Bible, Father. And we could call it diligence and slothfulness, and we could call it a lot of things, Lord. And I pray you just help us to see the principle here so we can apply it. Most of us do this. And Lord, I've been working on an area of this for a year that I didn't even know I had, Father. And I just pray you'd help all of us to be what we ought to be, Father. And maybe if we're not Christians who are just trying to get off drugs and not do terrible sins, as we call them, but maybe we're fine-tuning a little bit, maybe we realize that we might have some issues and become greater. And in life, and in the Christian life, be people who do well and do it with their whole heart and do everything as best they can for you, Father. And as we look to these principles, Lord, may your Spirit speak to us in what we need individually and help us individually. In Jesus' name, please give us your power. May the Spirit be our teacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 6:48 says, therefore be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's our standard, being perfect. And that's a pretty high standard. Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. You're supposed to do things heartily as to the Lord and not to men. the Bible says. So he says, smite the ground. Now, the king here, Joash, is the king, and he's a guy who went into immorality, and he did the exact same thing as dad, that he just kind of, in laziness, followed in the immorality of his, he never stepped out to do anything greater. And by the way, most people don't do anything greater. It's just the occasional one that God moves their heart, where they do anything greater than what's handed to them. And I want to make I want to make sure I get back to that. If I finish, I don't tell you about just not doing anything greater than stop my sermon and interrupt me, and then I'll yell at you for doing it. And you're commanded to do things heartily. This guy just took his own wind. And he said, no, you shouldn't at 5 or 6 or 10 times. But he was a person who just kind of did things halfway and just did it. Took the easy path and kind of did that. Let me take it to Proverbs, and I want to teach you some things about this. I see people like I see everything. I see things in big picture. Sometimes it's humorous when I read my Bible. It's amazing, because God's made me so much of a big picture person. It's amazing how many things that are trivial, that are trivia things, like who the person being dealt with was. I will see the concept of the whole story, not necessarily the details of the story. That's just the way I see things. I see them in big pictures. And I see a life, and because of that, I see patterns in lives. Most people do not see patterns in their own lives. They see events. And they do not connect events. It's amazing how few people connect events in their life. And they never, it's like they look at their backyard and they say, look, I've got 8 gopher holes. I must have 8 gophers. That's the way people see their life. And they don't associate a marriage problem with a financial problem. And they don't associate that financial problem with a clothing problem. But they might all be connected. Because there's your character. And there's who you are. And generally, your character affects how you do things. And if you do things a certain way, it ends up showing in many different ways. And in Proverbs 27 here, we find out about the lazy person. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. There is a lion in the street. So lazy people make excuses. As a door turneth upon its hinges, so do the slothful upon his bed. Back to his bed. Always laugh. People say when they're lazy, they always say, I need so much sleep. You don't understand. I need 12 hours. I need 10 hours. I need 15 hours. It's because you're slothful. The Bible says slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. If you're busy, you'd find out you need less and less sleep. The less you do, the more sleep you need. That I know it doesn't sound right, but it is right. And you'll find eventually they will get labeled with chronic fatigue syndrome, because they're lazy. And I'm not saying everybody gets labeled that. I'm saying the people who are lazy, they get labeled that. It was their own fault. And a whole bunch of busy people have that. They just don't have time to live it. So they say there's a lion in the streets, and they say that, and he makes excuses. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men can render reason. Here's what I want you to think about the sluggard. He's arrogant. He makes excuses. He sleeps a lot. They're all connected to his character of being lazy. It's all connected to his character. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Let's go the opposite direction. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, nobody's. Have you ever looked real close to the ant and seen the little slave driving ant? What are you doing? Driving the other little ants? No. Ants are diligent. They do it on their own. They all are being diligent. Oh, look, a beetle. Let's take him home and eat him. And they all crawl underneath him and pull little beetle along and go back to their thing. And they all do it in unison. Why? Because they're diligent. Yeah, can you imagine the excuses ants could make? I live in a hole in the ground. Hey, man, you know how far it is to get out of the hole? You know how many feet are out there walking around here? Boy, talk about an excuse. Ants have excuses. Look at this. You know, I mean, it's like the ant crawls under this building and crawls away with it. You know how big that thing is? I'm trying to think of an ant name, but I can't think of one. and Anthony, that might work, and or maybe everybody's your aunt. And you go and they're like, they don't make excuses. They nobody tells them. They say, you know what? The winter's coming. It's sunny. Let's go out and get some food and bring it in here and store it for winter. Provideth their meat in summer and gather their food in harvest. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, they say, just a little bit more. A little folded in the hands of sleep. So shall your poverty come upon one as travaileth and I want as an armed man. You see a difference here. You see the slothful and you see that nobody's telling the ant to go work, but it does the right thing. And the slothful person, nobody is telling them not to work, but because they're lazy, they don't. And because of this situation, because they're like that, they suffer. One has food, one doesn't, it says. One will come to poverty, one will have food in winter. And so it's because of who they are, they don't make excuses, and they choose to do something, but wait a minute. What the slothful person is ultimately doing, and I say this as a person who's been very slothful, very lazy. I grew up very lazy, and who now you wouldn't call me lazy, who's been every spectrum in between. I want to say it's the only reason you're lazy is because it's easy. Now, here's the funny thing. It's not easier. Moving 4 times a year because you're evicted from your apartment is hard. Okay? Okay, especially everybody in our church, you always move to the third floor. Pastor, can you move me? Sure. You're on the third floor, right? How'd you know? I prophesied. And everybody I move is on the third floor. And move from the third floor to the third floor. And so always, always, always. And so but being slothful in the long run is not easier. But it is short term. Get back in bed, lay back in bed, tune yourself out, watch TV, turn on the music, play your Wii or do whatever, and just to distract your mind from nothing. And so it's taking the path of least resistance. Where the ant could say, we got enough food for today, let's lay around. That's the hard path, is to get out of your hole and get out there and go get the stuff you need and bring it back. As we talked about this morning, Joshua and Caleb, it looked harder and it was harder. They had to get up and march and fight and do all that stuff. It was easier for the people to say, I don't want to go and fight the giants. We're like grasshoppers, and lie to yourself and say and exaggerate. And then all you do is wander around for 40 years and do nothing. But it's not as rewarding. We'll read that. And we'll read that in a moment. But it's the easy path. It's what comes to you. It's what's easy. And to change is very difficult. So there's two differences between the slothful and the lazy. One is the slothful man who makes an excuse, and the ant. One is just laziness. We're not talking about laziness tonight. But secondly, it's taking the harder, better path. Look at Proverbs 13. It's taking the harder, better path. Like reading your Bible. It's hard to read your Bible. But it's rewarding. But you don't do it. You know, the natural, easy thing, the slothful thing is not read your Bible. That's what happens easily, but it's not rewarding. But it's easy. That's what you're normally going to do. It's the path of least resistance. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent, not the body, shall be made fat. Wish it said the body. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat, but the soul of the sluggard desireth not nothing. Whose soul is satisfied? Whose soul has nothing? Not the body, right? The soul. And they're not satisfied in their soul because one's diligent and one's lazy. Wait a minute. Whose path to start off is harder? The diligent. You ever watch when I was a teenager, I was lazy, didn't have anybody teach me to work hard, but I had a couple friends who were hard workers and parents made them work hard. Those people who worked hard, when they were 18, 19, 20, I was trying to figure out how to work. They were on the way in their career, doing well, because they were hard workers, and they were better off at that point, and diligence does that, and diligence does that. So Israel, we talked about this morning, 40 years of wandering. That was easy. I don't want to go in. I'm not going to go fight the enemies. Those guys are giants. There's walled cities. I'm going to stay out here. No, let's go back to Egypt. Let's do the easy thing. I'm comfortable in Egypt. That's my comfort zone. And God said, I'm not sending you back to Egypt. I don't part Red Seas in reverse. You can wander around in for 40 years and let your carcasses fall in the wilderness. As far as I'm concerned, I just need you guys to die off so your kids can go in. I'm going to bless them because they didn't deserve what you earned. But you're just going to wander around and do nothing. Why? They chose the easy path, and the easy path led to dissatisfaction. And they were just frustrated people walking in circles. And that's what happens when you do that. Usually, the hard decision brings good results. The easy decision brings bad results. That's normally the case. Nor if you want to go and be a good Christian, it's a hard decision. It's an easy decision to stay the way you are. But the results are way better if you serve God. If you decide, I'm going to marry the right kind of person, it's easy to marry the wrong kind of person. They're everywhere. It's easy. I was telling my kids about a bus worker when I was in Chicago. She was in Bible college, and she was a girl in Bible college. She was there before I was there. I just met her 10 years later. And she would get in the bus and ride in the church from Chicago, and she got attached to this bum, this lazy, fat, not working, I'm trying to think of nice terms, good for nothing, big lazy guy, because he was attracted to her, and he wooed her, and she left Bible college, ran off with him, got married, and we picked her up on the bus sometimes, and she would just weep and be miserable about how her whole, man, my husband, he won't come with me to church, and he won't work, and we don't have any money, and we're poor, and she's going to live the rest of her life on the south side of Chicago in a poor area with a lazy guy who's worthless, who she has no respect for, but it sure was an easy decision and fun for 2 months when she was 19 or 20, and now her whole life's a struggle. But she took the easy decision, is that person's attracted me, like me. And that's the wrong decision. It was the harder decision is to wait for somebody who's virtuous and strong and godly and holy. It's harder to do that. There's not as many of them. And you got to look hard, and you got to be careful, and you got to say no sometimes. Life is like that. Let me take you to a bunch of scriptures to kind of teach you about the decisions we make and the hardness of them. 2 Timothy. And again, you don't have to turn to all these because there are going to be a lot of them in a lot of places, but you can if you like. 2 Timothy chapter 2, but I will go a bit quick because I have a lot of places and a lot of verses. Chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we suffer, hard decision, we shall also reign with him. Great blessing. If we deny him, easy decision. Follow the crowd. Don't be embarrassed. He shall also deny us. That's not good. Proverbs again, and we'll be a lot in Proverbs, so don't take your finger out of there. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. That seems like a good way to go, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 20. There's a way that seems easy. Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Let me go contrary. go contrary to everything you're programmed to think in your mind. If you get rich, the journey of getting rich will be better than being rich. What I mean by the journey is the process of working and conquering and having dominion over things. If you win the lottery, your money will not satisfy you. And the Bible says it takes up wings and flies away. But everybody wants the easy way. And the easy way doesn't work out better. And enjoy the things you earn, you will enjoy a whole bunch more. But we don't want to take the time to save and earn, but you'll enjoy the things more. It's the harder way, but the harder way is often better. Proverbs 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. It says, don't just do the easy thing, just go fight. In the end, it might end up being really, really bad. Don't be hasty to do that stuff. Just bite your tongue. Avoid conflict. Now let me read you a long passage that is going to say all the things I just said about taking the easy path. And then I'll talk to you for a while and get more verses later. Proverbs 2. And read you a longer passage, and it's going to say what I just said in several ways. Proverbs 2. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, remember what the subject is, easy decision, big blessing, hard decision. Easy decision, bad results, hard decision, big blessing. Choose the way that's best, whether it's harder or not, is where we are. Slothful people take the easy path that comes to them just and falls to them. Diligent people do what's harder at the start, but in the end are blessed. With that in mind, Proverbs 2:10, when the wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward pervert their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the strange which flattereth with her words. So the strange woman we'll get to in a minute, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold unto their path of life. I'm going to say this carefully. An immoral woman is called easy. Okay? And they're not hard to woo, and not hard to win, and not hard to impress. But it says that that path is a path of death. It's not a good path. It's a hard path. You run at that kind of woman, a young man does. He thinks, boy, I'm getting what I want, and this is great. No, you're not. You're taking an easy path that you think is just easy and gravy. You're not. You're like the guy who's dropping out of school and saying, my life's easy. Give it some time, buddy. Give it some time. It's not that easy. Like the person who says, I'm just going to eat everything I want all the time. And it's easy to eat all you want all the time. But when you weigh 400 pounds and can't get out of your chair, then it's not easy. I shouldn't have done that. You're with me until I got to food. All right. Cheetos and pop, you're good. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take hold they hold of the paths of life. It's hard to get out of there. Hard to get out of there. That thou may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. That's the way it is. Talking to somebody, where the sermon came from, is I was talking to somebody, and they were just talking about their life, and there was a long line of mistakes, and they said, this, you know, I'll probably do this, and I know it's probably going to end up happening like this, because bad things always happen to me. And I said, can I tell you why they happened to you? I just took a chance. I've gotten so leery. I've gotten too leery of rebuke because people are so thin-skinned. I said, can I help you? Can I give you a little idea? I said, you always pluck the lowest fruit in your life. What do you mean by that? I said, just imagine a tree sitting on the side of the road, and it's a plum tree. And I said, people walk by that road all the time and pluck the fruit, and you walk by the tree, and you know what? You look, and there's a ton of fruit up in there, but you know what? There's some fruit hanging low that you can reach, but there's a reason nobody's grabbed it yet. It's rotten. It's gross. It's slimy. It's been eaten by a bird. It's not ripe. But you say, but you know what? I don't want to stretch and reach up there or jump or climb or do anything like that. I'll just take that one. I said, that's been your whole life. You took the first relationship. When things got hard, you quit. When this happens, you always do this. I said, even the jobs you have taken, and you wouldn't even know who this person was, but I said, even the jobs you've taken, you ever notice you take the first job that where they you find out there's a job somewhere, no matter how bad a job it is, you take it? He said, I get the worst job. I said, that's because you take the first job. You say, somebody told me about their hire and over here. It's a terrible job. But the very laziness, the very character, your very laziness just says, you know what, that's easy. I'll just take that job when you could get a better job. But literally your laziness and your lack of wanting to try and just saying, oh, this is easy over here. I'll just go over here. Controls your entire life and you make bad decisions because it's easy. Bad decisions are easy. It is easy to do drugs. When you slam your thumb with a hammer, it's easy to cuss. It's easy to not go to church. What do? You roll back over. Going to church, you have to get up and get ready and try to get everybody's house ready. And if you're the man of the house, you go, come on, let's go. And do all those things you have to do to get them ready. And you know, it's hard. It's easier to lay in bed. It's easy not to read your Bible. It's easy not to pray. It's easy to get in bad relationships. It's easy. But if you have the character of laziness, the lack of diligence, you fall into the easy decisions. And when it's time to make a good decision, you say, nah, you know what? That's just complicated. That's it. It's complicated, so you be flipping burgers and making $9 an hour for the rest of your life. But, you know, going to college, if I went to college, I don't even know where to apply. I don't know how I'd pay for it. I don't even know what the hours of college are. I don't know. And you who are diligent go, why do you think I'm bald? If I can tell you how many times I've said, watch. Okay. Okay. So how much it costs per semester at this college? That much? Okay. Do you have a financial assistance? Okay. Where do I apply for it? Okay. And then when does school start and what are the hours? Okay, good. Click. I just got all the information in 45 seconds. But the lack of diligence makes you pluck the lowest fruit, and this will be fine. I'll just do this. It's easy. Where you've got to say, no, I've got to do a hard thing. I've got to be perfect. Even my Father is in heaven is perfect. You've got to go and not pick the lowest fruit and just go the easiest path because, you know what, that just, I don't know, it just seems like, why would you do that? Why would you pick the easiest? Can I tell you? You marry, you know what, she's okay, and she kind of likes me, and you know, I don't know how I'm going to find another phone number for another girl. Okay, I'll marry you. You know, you're going to be living with that decision for a while. You say, people aren't that dumb. You don't get out. You don't get out. Oh, man. People don't make the easiest decision. This is so crazy. In most situations, most people are going to get in a serious relationship with the first person interested in them. Doesn't matter if they have 3 eyes, 4 teeth. Doesn't matter if they have a brain. I mean, some little tiny guy who's this tall and weighs 95 pounds and he's got this girlfriend who's 450 pounds and shut up! And poof, he goes flying up. But she went up to him and said, hey, you're cute. She said, thank you. And there they go, Laurel and Hardy. And why? Because, well, she was there and said yes. She has a mouth. And she said hi. I mean, people make weak decisions in laziness and take the easiest path in laziness, and they do that. And I mean, facetious about it, but let me tell you, they do it with so many things. And we don't want to be that way. I thought an interesting story. Just thinking about it this week, an interesting quote. In 2008, the Florida Gators were supposed to win the national championship. They were the number one team in the nation. They were way better than everybody else. They're 3-0. They were ready to win the national championship. They had the best players. They had NFL players all over on their team. And lo and behold, for whatever reason, they lost their fourth game. And their goal was to go undefeated. They were the best team. They were the best team the year before. Came into the next year, ready to win it all. And they were ready to go undefeated the whole season. And they lost to Mississippi, which is not exactly Alabama or USC or a big major university. And they lost that. They lost the game. And Tim Tebow goes into the press conference. He's the leader of the team. He's the best player in college football. Maybe the best college football player ever. Not so much as a pro yet, but maybe the best college football. And he goes into his press meeting and he starts crying. Big, tough, 22-year-old, won the Heisman Trophy a year and a half before. And he goes in there and he starts crying and he gets very intense. And he made a speech at the top of his head while he's crying in front of thousands of cameras and people all over the nation watching him. And he made a statement that was so strong and so powerful that they took that statement and they emblazoned it on the side of their practice facilities forever in metal. And here's the he says. Here's what he said here, word for word. To the fans and everybody of the Gator Nation, that's the Florida Gators, I'm sorry. I'm extremely sorry. We were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal, something Florida had never done here. I promise you one thing. A lot of goodwill will come out of this. You will never see any players in the entire country, you will never see any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of this season. You will never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season. You will never see a team play harder than we will play the rest of the season. God bless. That was his statement. He said, our hopes are over for the national championship for undefeated season, but he said, we are going to do better than this. I will push my teammates. I will play harder than any player you've ever seen play. Our team will play harder than you've ever seen anybody play. That's character. Instead of, oh man, we lost. Now the whole rest of the season doesn't matter and we're not going to win the national championship and, you know, everything just stinks and it's not fair and the officials beat us. That's what low character people do. Here's the rest of their season. Next week, Arkansas win 38-7. Next week, Louisiana State, number 4 team in the nation, 51-21, they win. Next week, Kentucky, 63-5. Next week, they play Georgia, number 8 team in the nation, 49-10. Next week, Vanderbilt, 42-14. Next week, number 24 team in the nation, South Carolina, 56-6. Citadel, 70-19. Next week, Florida State, number 23 team in the nation, 45-15. Next week, they go to the SEC championship team, and a weird thing happened. They get to play the number 1 team in the nation, undefeated Alabama. They won 31-20. Everybody else lost the game. They jumped everybody, and they're going to the national championship game now. Next game against number 2, Oklahoma. Win national championship game 24-14. Why? Because someone said, I'm climbing the top of this tree and getting the best fruit. And he did that. And won the national championship, though they thought their season was all the way over. And that's what they did, because a leader of a team decided we are not going to settle for mediocrity and weakness. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. So you don't stand in front of the tree and say, oh, you know what? I don't want to climb the tree. It's hot up there. There's probably bugs up there. Yes, hard things are hard. That's deep, isn't it? You ponder the path of your feet and say, you know what? I need to eat. And this is rotten, and this one's not good. I've got to climb this tree. And I think if I climb this tree, I can. You know what? I think I can go get some buckets and get a whole bunch of fruit here. And I'm going to go and climb this tree and get the best fruit and enjoy my food. You ponder the path to your feet. Don't just say, that sounds good. You know what? I don't know what I want to do with my life, but my friend, he works over at Jim Bob's 4x4 place. And you know what? That's good. It's a job, and I'll go work there, and that's fine. Or you don't go and say, you know what? This is fun. That church has a good rock band, and yeah, you know what? I like rock music. And just relax and just say, that's easy. That's fun. Don't live your life like that. What will that lead me to? Where am I going in life? What's this going to mean in 1,000 years, in eternity? What am I going to do with my life? Don't just take this easy, slothful path and lay there. Say, I'm going to ponder the path of my feet. I'm going to serve Jesus because Jesus is the right way. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do the right thing. And you be diligent about it. You ponder the path of your feet. And again, just some verses that show this principle again, where you don't just pluck the lowest fruit. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Looking diligently, paying attention, being diligent. And 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to bring us to spiritual life. The devil is busy. The devil is going to destroy you if you aren't diligent, if you don't pick the hard paths. You cannot be a good Christian and fight the devil by being lazy. Amen. And not being careful. Be sober. Be vigilant. The word vigilant here, the Greek word for vigilant, it's a Greek word gregorio. Gregorio. It means to keep awake. Be vigilant. When it says to go put on the armor of God, it says a bunch of things you're supposed to do to put on the armor of God. It says, first of all, be strong. Then it says, put on. Then it says, we wrestle. Then it says, take on. Then it says, stand therefore. Then it says, taking the shield of faith. And take the word of God. And praying always, and watching thereunto with thanksgiving. What are they doing? Being diligent, proactively deciding to do the right thing. Because you do not become a good Christian saying, let's just see if the devil leaves me alone this week. No. You win the victory life saying, you know what? The devil's after me. I got to read a Bible this week. I got to read a Bible every day. How am I going to read a Bible every day? I got to spend time with God this week. Oh, man, I got to make sure I pray. How am I going to make sure I pray? I got to make sure I go to church. I got to make sure I keep my mind clean. I got to make sure I don't watch junky stuff on TV. I got to make sure that I don't waste my time on the internet. And I got to make sure I keep my mind pure. And I got to make sure I have good friends this week. What am I going to do? You are a person who doesn't just let life fall to you and let's see where this week leads. You say, I am proactively being diligent and finding the right way. I'm going to go forward and take the hard path and choose the hard things, because then I can win the national championship of life, of eternity, and do great things for God. It is not taking the bottom fruit and the easiest thing in life. I need a car. I just go get me a loan and just buy whatever. Hey, what kind of car should I buy, man? And you go to the car dealer. And what is, he's got a great plan for you. But think and plan and be diligent and pray. And most of financial problems, you know what they are? Laziness. It's not just not working. It's you don't even think it through what you're spending your money on. I just really wanted the Starbucks. You don't have gas money. You can't put it in your tank. It's pretty powerful. It's got enough caffeine to run a car, but it just don't explode. But people just, well, you know, I don't know, I'm just kind of, I'm bummed out and I just need to rest for a while. I just need to go ahead and take it easy. I just need to buy myself. I need to spoil myself because I haven't had anything nice for a while. You don't have any money. I know, but you know, I'll feel better. Okay. That's easy. I want to say, Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Don't pluck the bottom fruit of life. Life's too short and eternity is too long. Decide what a good eternity is and look at it and be diligent and try to find the right thing. Don't just smite the ground 3 times. You give it all you got. You be perfect. You don't make excuses. You don't just be lazy. You've got too much potential. There's too many good things to do with your life. God has too big of plans for us. Eternity is too long. There's too many lost souls. Listen, I don't know what to do with my life. I guess I'll just, you know, I'll just work a job and, you know, be a dude. How about maybe consider being a missionary? That might count. Why don't you consider going to the ministry? Why don't you go do something important with your life? Don't just, well, I don't know. No. Lazy people just sit there and make excuses and take the easy passive life. And have you ever said, why does she keep getting loser men? Do you know why? Hey, honey. Oh, okay. That's it. First guy who says hi. And you've got to say, what will this guy mean with my, can he support my kids? Can he take care of me? Is he a hard worker? Does my dad approve of him? Does my dad approve of him? You be diligent. You think it through. You be diligent in life. You pray about it. You take the hard path and say, I'm going to make hard decisions when I'm young. I'm going to make hard decisions in my life. I'm not going to do the easiest thing. I'm going to find and think this stuff through. Ponder the path of my feet. Now, you follow all that. It's a whole bunch of Bible and one principle. You ponder the path of your feet. Don't pick the easy fruit. Find the hard path and do what's tough in life. Because in the end, your soul is satisfied even though the path was harder to get there. That's the whole truth. It's all over the Bible. That's what Jesus did on the cross. That's what Paul did when he went and preached the gospel, knowing he might get stoned in that town. That's what people did, that's what the martyrs did, and they looked at eternity instead of this life. It's don't always pick the lowest fruit. It's easy, but there's more to life than the easy thing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, Lord, I don't know how you want to apply this message. I know that person that I talked to about this, Lord, they said it just really impacted their life. And I pray tonight that some people who maybe are making easy decisions or going the easy path would follow the hard way. Maybe look for the decision that's best, whether it's easy or not. Lord, it's easy to be lazy, Father. I've done it a million times. And Lord, you really worked on me in just one area that I just needed to fix and needed to get up into my character to do this the best way, even though it's not my favorite way. And Lord, I pray all of us would choose the right path and ponder it and do the hard thing, no matter what the price. Because Lord, when we seek your kingdom first, which isn't easy, all these things are added unto us. And Lord, life gets better and life is more blessed when we make good decisions. Lord, it's even a harder decision to raise good kids. It's easier to just let them do what they want for a while, but in the end, Lord, it's harder. So I pray, Lord, we would just do the right thing in our lives. There's many ways this applies. I just ask that you, in your spirit, apply it to our lives personally so we can do the right thing in our life and make the hard decisions and be diligent. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.